"You've got to be fucking kidding me," I said, staring at the giant metal door. Since leaving Red Death, we'd made our way down to where the morgue was. Traveling through the hospital without fear of feral ghouls was quite frankly boring. Dry Rot glanced up at me.
"Yeah, it's a fucking door, right?" he said. "Our mutual friend has been trying to get in there for some time, but he can never crack the security."
I blinked. "Well, we're fucked," I said aloud. "I cannot break into terminals. I'm horrible at that." Dry Rot chuckled as I stepped up to the terminal.
"I like you, you know that?" he said. "But unfortunately, we don't have a choice. We've never had any pony around with access to a pip bug, so we couldn't probably hack this thing. Now we do."
I sighed, nodding. "You're right," I said, connecting my pip bug to the terminal. It came up to the security menu, providing me with a list of words that could possibly be the password. I racked my brain, trying to figure out what the password could be. I was absolutely not the smartest pony to be doing this. Still, I had to try. Violet wasn't here, and I had to get into this terminal now or risk going back on my deal with Dr. Kerr. I picked the first word I saw, death, and received an error. I grunted.
"Wrong choice," I thought. "Three left."
I scanned the word listing, feeling more and more confused. I hit another word, broken, and received another error. I growled under my breath.
"How does Violet make this look so easy?" I thought.
I hit a third word, hoping that it would get me into the terminal. Wrong again. The terminal flashed, pronouncing that I only had one attempt left. I snarled loudly.
"Damn it!"
I shouted, ready to give up and smash the terminal to pieces in my normal fashion. Just as I was about to blow the terminal sky high, Steeljack placed a hoof on my shoulder.
"Star, breeze. Back out of the terminal and try again fresh," he said.
I blinked.
"You're right," I said. "I'm such an idiot. Thanks, Steeljack."
The stallion grinned as I flipped off the terminal and back on. The device went through its security reset and redisplayed a fresh list of possible passwords. I gained entry on the word trauma on my first try, which made me snort. A soft ding echoed from the terminal as I received a success message. My eyes gleamed as a menu came up. This hacking thing wasn't so difficult when I had the time to back out and be patient.
"I'm in," I said, grinning. "Now let's see what we have here."
I moved my way down the menu, looking for the option to unlock the door to the morgue. I found it all the way at the bottom and selected it. The door began to hiss as it started to open. I disengaged my pip back and stood next to the others.
"Excellent," Dry Rot proclaimed. "With the tissue contained inside, Dr. Cash should have enough samples to continue his work for a very long time."
"Do you think he can actually do it?" Symmetra said. "Cugulism."
Dry Rot shrugged.
"It's a hell of a lot better than the alternative," the unicorn said. "Let's just have a look-see."
Dry Rot's words trailed off as the door opened wide enough, revealing two massive ceiling turrets that each fired blasts of energy towards the old ghoul. I reached without thinking, using my telekinesis to push Rot out of the way as I leapt in to deflect the blasts with my shield. The purple barrier shuddered beneath the force of the laser fire as the guns wound up for another round.
"Every pony down!"
I shouted, lifting Stargazer and taking aim. I dropped into ESATS, queuing up shot after shot at the two turrets. Dropping the spell, Luna's mighty weapon launched a payload of destructive fire that rendered both defenses into piles of molten slag falling to the ground. I heard a grunt as Dry Rot stirred.
"Jeez," he said. "I didn't think there'd be active security after all this time."
"Neither did I said. "Wonder what they'd need to protect here?"
I lifted the broadcaster that Red had given us and slapped it into my pip bag, turning it on.
"Dr. Kerr, we've managed to open the morgue. There were active turrets just inside the door, so we're just going to go in real quick and make sure everything is safe."
A burst of static emanated from the device as the Pegasus Ghoul's voice came on its speaker.
"Excellent. Just don't touch anything useful," he said.
I chuckled as I cut off the connection.
"No worries there, Doc. I'm ready to get the hell out of this place myself,"
I muttered, taking a step inside of the old morgue. Dry Rot followed with a laugh. Surprisingly, beside the slack on the ground from the turrets, the room was fairly clean. Rows and rows of metal cabinets lined the two walls on each side, extending to where there were several terminals along the back wall. Gurneys sat in spaced rows in the middle of the room, each one with the body of a pony on it. I blinked, turning to Dry Rot.
So, how are these things still preserved after so long?
Well, I'm not an expert in this end of the life cycle, but I know a little bit. This hospital was the place of my residence after all,
he said.
The mark was magically sealed to preserve ponies who were coming in from the war. With so many deaths, it was imperative that the bodies be preserved so they could be buried appropriately.
I see, I said. So, all those cabinets?
Dryrot nodded. I gulped. That was a lot of dead ponies. I made my way towards the back where terminals were, finding that they were still intact and working. There wasn't much to speak of, really. Emails here and there to the mortician about scheduled pickups and a death record database. Whatever the turret had been protecting certainly didn't seem like much.
Well, it seems like everything is in order here, I said finally. We should get back to Duskhoof.
The others nodded and we started out of the room and into the hall. I fell back behind Silmetra and Steeljack to walk beside Dr. Rot.
So, you said you used to work here?
Before the war, I did, yes,
the ghoul replied casually.
I was a premier specialist in the region for fertility and pregnancy studies.
So, that's why the unicorns are 10 ponies said you could help us, I said, more to myself than anything.
Dry Rot chuckled.
Yes, it's nice to know that my reputation precedes me, he said. While we walk, though, tell me a bit about your friend. It will be nice to have some information. Don't want to go in cold, after all.
I nodded and started talking about Pat as we continued down the hallways. It seemed like it took forever, but we finally arrived back in the main hall that led to the lobby area where Duskhoof was situated. As we trotted back into the town proper, we were stopped by none other than the mayor himself. He nodded at Dry Rot.
So, it seems you were successful, he said. We were beginning to get worried. Doctor, are you well? Better than ever, you old muck bucket,
Dry Rot replied. Akra's gaze narrowed at the old ghoul.
And what about the feral ghouls?
He said.
Ah, I'll field that one, I said. The feral ghouls won't trouble your medical expeditions any longer. Dr. Kerr has promised to keep them contained to the administration offices and the morgue. As long as your expeditions don't bother them, they won't bother you.
Doctor, you mean Red Death?
Iker said. I nodded.
And you actually let him live? He's a monster. He's spilling an army in there.
Dry Rot snorted.
Please, Kerr wouldn't know how to build an army if you gave him instructions,
he said, striding past Iker.
Just leave him alone, Sledge. He has what he wants, so leave it be.
The mayor stammered as Dry Rot kept walking. I gave the Earth Pony ghoul a pained smile as I walked past myself.
Best to listen to him, I think. He is a doctor, after all, I said.
Ikor grimaced and pushed past Silmetra, heading towards his office. The Bat Ghoul had an amused expression on his face.
I believe Mayor Sledge is going to be unhappy for some time, he said.
I grimaced.
Yeah, sorry about that, I said.
Silmetra waved a hoof.
That's no problem, he said. If it isn't one thing, it's something else. He'll come around. Now let's go see your friend.
I nodded and we made our way after Steeljack and Dry Rot as the unicorn pushed open the door to Patch's room. The three mares inside looked up, rather surprised. Dry Rot grunted.
Which one of you is Patch?
He said. The green mare raised a hoof.
Excellent. All of you out. I don't work well with others. Go wait in the lobby and I'll come out when I'm finished.
I was about to protest until the old unicorn's horn lit, picking all of us up in a bout of telekinetic strength I'd only ever witnessed on a pissed off violet and depositing us comedically outside the door in a heap. The door slammed shut and I groaned as I felt something furry resting across my cheeks.
Can some pony get their hoof off my face? I said. Oh, sorry about that,
Lilith said as I felt the offending appendage remove itself. We managed to untangle ourselves quickly enough and I glanced at the door. Sighing, I pulled my gaze to the others.
There's not much we can do now, Star, Steeljack said. We've got to trust in Dryrot to find out what's wrong with her.
I nodded.
I'm going to take my leave. I have duties to the town to patrol our borders,
Symmetra announced.
I will meet you all later, hopefully under good tidings.
The bad pony raised a wing and took off down the hall. Lilith grunted. Well, I don't care what that old hornback says, she said, plopping down next to the door. I'm staying right here and guarding them. Steeljack turned to her, placing a hoof on her shoulder.
Thanks, he said. I know she'd appreciate that, Lilith. You're a good friend.
The black mare beamed at the stallion's compliment. He looked up at me.
If it's all the same to you, I'm going to stick around myself. You two go on, check out the rest of the town.
I nodded, walking past the two with Sunshine as we made our way to the main waiting area.
So, what do you want to do? Sunshine said.
I grimaced. With no time frame as to when Dr. Rot would be finished, I had to think of something. A tug in the back of my mind told me that I still hadn't looked at the memory orbs that Discord left me.
You promised Violet you wouldn't do that,
a voice said from my mind.
Violet's not here, I thought. So, that doesn't mean you should just break your promise like that. What she doesn't know won't hurt her, I thought back.
Having internally justified my plan of action, I turned to Sunshine.
Actually, I think I'm gonna go get some rest, I said shakily. I could really use a breather.
Sunshine nodded, taking her leave of me. I sighed, thankful that I didn't know the pink mare well enough yet for her to be suspicious. I trotted along, finding a room off the beaten path from the rest of the town. I plopped in the middle of the floor, setting my bags next to me. I rolled the memory orb out and activated it, taking the plunge as darkness filtered into my vision. I blinked, not recognizing the body I was in. I looked down at myself, seeing the body of a blue stallion.
Oh no,
I thought as I realized who I was. Dusk Blue looked up, walking down a hallway that was very familiar to me. It was the main hall of the Manhattan Harbor military base where I'd found Discord. The stallion made his way into the main hangar, stopping in front of the robot patrolling the path.
Take me to Discord, my host said.
The robots beeped and turned towards the compartment crate. It hissed open softly and revealing the spirit of chaos and his statue. My host sneered.
It's done.
Oh, is it now?
A deep and dark voice rumbled from around the stallion.
Does she suspect anything?
Not a thing, my host replied. She will come to you when she's ready.
Excellent.
Discord's voice emanated from the statue.
You have been completely loyal to me, Dusk Blue. Your loyalty shall be greatly rewarded.
Thank you, Discord, my host said. The other thing you asked about, it's done as well.
The chart? It has been hidden appropriately,
Discord replied. My host nodded.
Good. Spark will never suspect my involvement in this. This should delay her sufficiently until Radiant Star can find her.
From the back of Dusk's mind, I blinked several times. Discord wanted me to find Spark? What sense did that make? Was the chart he was talking about the chart that Twilight had sealed Spark into?
Forgive me, but what was the purpose of hiding the chart? Why not take it for yourself and become the ultimate power in this world?
My host said. Discord snickered.
Because that would be far too predictable, Dusk Blue,
the spirit said.
Our little star has a destiny to meet, and she's very important to what's coming next. And I do not want to miss being in the front row for that.
I see, my host said. You have what I asked for.
A rumbling laughter emanated from the stone. One of the ponytrons rolled forward, a glinting metal amulet hanging off of the thing's hoofs. It was the Alicorn amulet.
This was very easy to acquire after the Twilight Society left Tenpony in search of the Alicorn from those attacks,
Discord said.
Spark gave us a perfect distraction.
Dusk Blue grinned, his horn igniting and grabbing the amulet. He wrapped the chain around his neck, feeling the power of the amulet filling his horn with magic.
Excellent, my host said, his eyes flaring red.
He grinned widely as the voice of the spirit of disharmony cackled madly.
Once our little star has freed me, you will be poised to reveal yourself to her,
he said.
Just like you've planned to all along, right, spellcaster?
My host's eyes widened.
You know,
Duskblue said. Discord cackled again.
Yes, I know of your part in this game, Duskblue. That is why you were selected for this little soiree of mine. You are of great importance to our little star, he said. Isn't that right, Radiant Star?
I blinked, glancing behind me and seeing the form of the spirit himself. The memory faded to black, leaving us to our own devices. He chuckled loudly.
You have that look on your face again. It's killer, you know that, right?
Discord, what's your game? Why show me this?
I said. Discord sneered.
Because I feel like it,
he said, crossing his arms. He snapped a claw, making a fancy lounge chair appear out of nowhere.
And because I thought it would have been funny.
The charge, you had Duskblue hide it, why?
I said. The spirit put a paw up to his chin, sinking for several long moments.
Balance. Spark represents an upset in the natural order of the world. Order and chaos must exist at the same time, he said. And I hate order, more than anything. Chaos is sort of my thing after all. Spark wants to control everything.
But I thought you wanted that power,
I asked. Discord grinned at me.
I've got front row tickets for everything, so I can't really complain, Radiant Star. After all, you do have a destiny to meet,
he said.
I don't get it,
I said. Discord shrugged.
You see, Star, I really was reformed so long ago, and I've got an old friend to visit, the one who helped with my reformation. There's nothing more important than that, he said. Friendship, they say, really is magic. You're doing a fair job of that one.
What do you mean?
I said angrily.
I'm doing just fine with my friends.
And yet you are breaking the promise you made with your lover right now,
Discord sneered.
You are pushing away your friends, and why? For some misguided ideal of how you're to blame for everything?
I growled.
That's not fair. Who are you to lecture me?
I said.
I am to blame for what happened to all those ponies out there and for what happened to Patch. I'm responsible for Duskblue.
I hate to point out the Brahmin in the room, but I'm responsible for him,
Discord said, grimacing. I glared at the spirit, considering his words. He was right about that. All this time I'd been pointing hoofs at myself for what had happened, but it was Discord who'd manipulated me. It was Discord who'd pushed and pulled every step of the way. And yet, he looked remorseful for it. I found that I didn't care. He was still to blame.
That's right, I said, snarling. You are responsible. You did all of this, and when I find you...
Oh, but you won't find me, Radiant Star. I'm no longer here, of course. I'm off, busy doing whatever it is I do best,
Discord replied. He snapped a claw, producing two golden tickets.
Biding my time until I can cash these in for the greatest fight to ever grace the Equestrian Wasteland.
He snapped another claw, disappearing into nothingness.
We'll be seeing each other again, Radiant Star. Arrivederci.
I groaned, opening my eyes to the dark room as I remembered where I was. The thoughts of the contents of the memory orb filtered through my mind. Discord, he had manipulated Duskblue, and all for what? To try and force me toward Spark? I wondered about what he had said about balance. Did that truly justify what Discord had done? He tried to use chaos to enforce balance? It didn't make any sense to me. I silently cursed to myself. He was right about one thing. I'd just broken my promise to Violet. Who knows what could have happened while I was stuck in the memory orb? I sighed. Violet was right. I was addicted to these things. I needed some help.
You're awake, a voice said.
I became aware that I wasn't the only pony in the room. I looked up, seeing a set of bright blue eyes in the darkness. Sylmetra flashed a toothy grin at me as he appeared out of the shadows.
Sylmetra?
I said, cocking my head.
What are you doing here?
I was asked to keep an eye on you, the Bat Ghoul said.
I'm not a foal, I said angrily.
Symmetra frowned.
No, you most certainly are not, he said. But even I can tell when a pony is hurting, so tell me, what ails the Ministry Mayor?
But are you a psychiatrist when you're not a guard? I challenged.
Symmetra only chuckled.
No, I'm a friend with excellent listening skills, he said, flipping his ears a little as he sat next to me. So to speak, and I shall listen.
I sighed, dropping my head.
I've done some bad things, I said. I released an evil spirit of chaos. I nearly caused a war. I let the spirit of magic out into the wasteland. I'm fucking addicted to memory orbs and I couldn't even keep a simple promise to the one pony I love.
And you came all the way here because you wanted to save a friend. You chose to speak to Red Death's good side rather than attack him. From what I've heard on the radio of you, you're a hero, he said.
I chuckled, looking down at my hoofs.
I'm no hero, I said. Heroes do awesome things for every pony. Every pony looks up to them. I'm just a hot mess with a wagon load of problems.
Problems that in the scheme of things mean absolutely nothing,
Symmetra said.
Life, it comes and it goes. I've witnessed at least 200 years worth of it. And if there's anything I've seen is that even the ordinary can do something extraordinary. You are meant for something, Radiant Star. Something fantastic.
Lately it seems all I'm meant for is screwing things up, I said, sighing. Sorry, Symmetra, you're trying, I know that.
The Batghoul shuffled his wings.
You will find your role, Radiant Star. You will find what virtue drives you, he said. This I know. Now I also have come because Dr. Rod has finished with your friend. I am to take you to them.
He's done with Patch?
I questioned, standing. The Batghoul nodded silently.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Because it was you who needed the help,
Symmetra replied. He motioned with a wing.
Follow me.
I nodded, following behind the Batghoul as we made our way towards where Dr. Rod's offices were. Symmetra held the door open, allowing me to enter. I blinked as I noticed the lack of the unicorn ghoul while the others sat in the middle of the room around Patch. The Green Mare waved happily.
Star, you're here, she said.
I smiled.
Hey, Patch, I said. How are you feeling?
The Earthmare beamed at me.
I'm feeling a lot better, she said. Just waiting for the doctor.
A cough from behind me caught my attention. I glanced back, seeing Dry Rot. The unicorn ghoul had a grim expression on his face. I moved aside, allowing him to enter the room. He stepped forward, setting a folder onto the desk in the corner. He turned to us and his face twisted. It took me a second to recognize the expression of a smile and one that went all the way to his eyes.
Well, I surmise you wish to know what is going on with your pregnancy,
he said to Patch. The man nodded.
I am happy to report that you have a very healthy pregnancy.
Then why did I, you know, fall over and faint? She said.
Dryrot nodded.
You haven't exactly been taking good care of yourself, and your faults were taking what strength they needed from your body. They were developing at slightly faster rates than normal, but still healthy. We also had to purge a fair amount of radiation from your system,
he said casually. I blinked.
Did you just say faults, as in plural?
I said. The ghoul nodded.
I'm going to have 2 faults,
Patch said, looking up at the old doctor. Lilith squeezed her friend's shoulder, smiling brightly.
Indeed, you have 2 healthy faults inside of you. I'm absolutely sure of it,
he said.
I'm an expert in the field of fertility, however, not radiation. After what you've told me, the only thing I can guess is that the developing cells split due to the amount of radiation you took in. It's not a perfect explanation, as I'm only guessing at this point.
Could you see what race they were? Gender? Were there any problems with them? Extra hooves? Mutated bodies?
Patch said frantically. Dryrot chuckled.
Easy there. Both of them are fine. Based on my analysis, you have a unicorn and a pegasus, female and male respectively,
the ghoul said.
And they're both normal and healthy as long as you take good care of yourself.
What do you mean?
I said.
I mean, she needs to eat a little better, as best as she can at least, and rest,
Dryrot said.
Pat grimaced.
But I want to keep going on with Star, she said. I can't just stop that.
The ghoul nodded.
I know. I'm not going to keep you from your friends, but you do need to take care of yourself, he said. I don't have much, but I can provide you with some medicine to help regulate.
Thank you, doctor, I said. You have no idea how much I am happy to hear that.
The ghoul grinned.
No big deal,
he said, waving a hoof.
You did a great service to this town by helping with the expeditions. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some business to attend to with the mayor.
Dryrot made his way out of the small room, leaving us alone. I glanced down at Patch.
I'm gonna be a mom, the green mare said, tears streaming down her face as she looked over at Steeljack. Steely, our foals, we're gonna be parents.
Steeljack smiled softly, taking his love's hoof.
I know. I never doubted it for 1 minute,
he said. Lilith wrapped her wing around her friend in a spine-crushing hug. I stepped over to the others, catching Patch's eye.
Star,
she said, reaching out for me. I nodded. Nothing else needed to be said as she reached out and pulled me into the group hug. I started to cry, letting everything out. Despite everything that had happened, the prospect that life, as Sir Metra had put it, would go on got to me finally. I let it all out and didn't feel bad about it. As long as I had my friends, as long as I was surrounded by their love, maybe there was hope for me yet. Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Violet Iris, level up. Steeljack, level up. Patch, level up. Lilith, level up.